Well, turning your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 13 as we continue, of course, our study of the history of the nation of Israel. We're seeing what we're calling the time of the kings. We're now looking at one of the greatest of all the kings is David. We call him David, a man after God's own heart. We think of David, we think of really two big things, David and Goliath and David and Bathsheba. When you think of David and Goliath, you think of victory and how great things were. And then when you think about David and Bathsheba, you think of his failure and how bad things were. From this point in David's life, basically back chapter 11 when he had the sexual sin with Bathsheba, from this point on, his life is never the same. In fact, the book of 2 Samuel, chapters 1 through 10, we've talked about this before, it's David in triumph. Everything goes good. Then chapter 11, 7 through 24, David in trouble and everything goes bad. In this passage this morning, we're seeing an issue of vengeance. And the Bible gives us a great deal about the whole idea of vengeance and getting back with others. In fact, God's word says, leave the vengeance to the Lord. Now, the natural thing is that you want to get people back. When people do something wrong to us, in fact, as we go through life, there are going to be opportunities. People are going to do things wrong to us. People hurt us. Sometimes they hurt us on purpose. And you say, that person, they're just not going to get away with that. And naturally, we want to get them back. This is vengeance and this is revenge. Well, this morning as we look at this passage, we're going to see that Absalom wants vengeance and revenge on his brother Amnon. And it's a sad time. And we're going to think about our own lives. We're going to look at this story. In fact, as we see it, we see the hurt and the pain and the sorrow and all the conflict which is in David's household. And as we look at this passage this morning, let me give you several things to think about. First of all, what about vengeance? God's way or our way. I want you to understand that naturally we want to go our way. We want to get somebody back when they do us wrong. But when we think about vengeance or revenge, we really need to think about it in God's way because that's the right way and that's the best way. Second is we think about sin. It's so costly. We see this in the lives of David and his entire family, how much sin cost. And the truth is that, you know, whatever you sow, you reap. And so it's powerful. The third issue that we'll look at is how do we deal with the whole idea of conflict and the issues of reconciliation and forgiveness. So as we look at this passage, we're going to think about vengeance, forgiveness, sin. We're going to see how all that ties together. This morning, Absalom is going to try to get revenge. In fact, he's going to get revenge on Amnon. And the goal is to see these truths and make application in our lives. Now, let's begin and let's think about the issue that we're dealing with. Have you ever wanted to get even with someone? You want to get them back. They did you wrong. In fact, it's not fair. They deserve it. I mean, they did it wrong, and they did it wrong on purpose. They hurt you on purpose. Isn't that the natural thing? The natural thing says, look, they're not going to do that and get away with it. Let me tell you something. People never get away with sin. Just remember that. But isn't it the natural thing? I know a person that said to me, that, and we were talking about the whole idea of forgiveness. The person said, look, when somebody does something to me, I don't even say anything to them, but I get even. And I said, really? Yeah, I said, yeah, here's what I do. I just go and I get magazines and I just fill out their name and I just put their name in all kind of subscriptions to magazines and they just start getting all kind of magazines. Drives them crazy. Don't do that, please. Don't do that. Don't do that to me anyway. How do we get people back? You know, sometimes if somebody says something bad about us, what do we want to do? We want to say something bad about them. Say, well, if they said that about me, well, let me tell you about them. When you were younger, somebody hit you, what'd you do? You hit them back. Sometimes when people do us wrong, here's how we get them back. We say, I'm not going to talk to them anymore. I don't have anything to do with them. I'll just ignore their existence. When I was in college, I had knew two guys, and they lived in the dorm. And in that day and time, there was one closet for both their guys' clothes. And I remember they got in this big getting each other back thing because one guy would come in and his roommate would take all of his clothes, squeeze them in the corner and then put all his clothes there. He'd come in, he'd take his roommate's clothes, push them all in the corner and pull his back and went back and forth for a while. How do we deal with things like this? How do you deal when somebody hurts you on purpose? What did Jesus do? We have that example. It says when he was reviled, he did not get them back. When he was crucified, he forgave them. This morning, we see vengeance. As we look carefully, there is a failure here of vengeance because, see, vengeance doesn't work. You know, you may think, and I know this is natural. Naturally, somebody does you wrong, you're going to get them back. You think, if I get them back, I'll feel better. Guess what? There is no success in vengeance. There's failure. Let's talk about vengeance for just a second. First of all, vengeance hurts us as much as it hurts others. When you want vengeance and get back other people, it's going to hurt you just as much as it hurts them. And it's going to hurt them, but it's going to hurt us. And it always brings division and dispute. So as we look at this morning, there's a lot of things there about vengeance. How do we deal with it? Well, you know, the Bible says very clearly, vengeance belongs to the Lord. And you know what you have to do? You have to trust God that He will take care of these people who do you wrong. He knows what to do. We understand forgiveness and reconciliation. That's the key. Well, as we start this study, we're seeing we're continuing, of course, the life of David, and it is a sad time. Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap." There's no doubt about it that David has sinned greatly. He has lied, he has murdered, he's committed adultery. I mean, that's bad. And God has sent Nathan to him, and we saw three things. We saw the confrontation, the confession, and the consequences. We saw that Nathan actually confronted David, and David confessed his sin and recognized that he was wrong, but there are consequences. In fact, Nathan said to David, here's what God says, "The sword will not depart from your household." That means there's going to be death and sorrow and conflict and all throughout the family. In fact, he even said that there's going to be all kind of problems in this family. And we saw last time it just started. Amnon, who's David's oldest son, lusted after Tamar, who is his half-sister, whose brother was a man named Absalom, and he tricked her, and he raped her, and then he threw her out. And it was a horrible thing we saw last week. And that's just the beginning of the things that we're going to see. You know, we've talked about this, that when you study the first 10 chapters of 2 Samuel, everything's good, and you're going, hey, this is great. David's doing good, man after God's own heart, winning all the victories. Everything's going great until you get to chapter 11. And that's when David sins, commits adultery and murder, lies. And then the whole rest of the book is just sorrow and conflict and all of these things. Well, if you remember what happened last week, Amnon, it said, loved his sister, half-sister Tamar. He lusted after her. He didn't love her. He wanted to have sexual relations with her. He had his friend, so-called friend named Jonadab, who helped him come up with this plan. He was going to pretend to be sick. The King David came in and said, "Son, you're sick?" He said, "Yeah, Dad, I think I'd feel a lot better if my sister Tamar came over to the house, fixed me food." So David sends Tamar over there, and when she comes, he sends everybody out after she gets the food fixed. He says, "Go back to the bedroom." She goes back to the bedroom to feed him the food, and he grabs her, and he rapes her. And then when he's through, it says, then he hated her with a greater hatred than in which he had loved her. It's lust. And now he hates her. And he says, "Get out of my sight." And she says, "Don't do this." And so he calls one of his attendants in and says, "Throw this woman out and lock the door." What he wants to say is, "Hey, she came in here to me. I didn't do anything wrong. She's the one that did wrong." That's what he wants it to be seen. And of course, we saw what happened. She had on the special top that the virgin daughters of the king wore, and she tore it, and she put ashes on her head, and she put her hand on top of her head, and she went along weeping and crying out. Her brother, Absalom, not her half-brother, but her brother, same mom. See, David had at least seven wives and a whole bunch of sons and daughters through these seven wives. Her brother, Absalom, he knew what had happened. Here's what it says, verse 20. Then Absalom, her brother, said to her, "Has Amnon, your brother, been with you? But now keep silent, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take this matter to heart." So Tamar remained and was desolate in her brother Absalom's house. Now Absalom sees her and he says, "What's going on?" He knew what happened. He said, "Has Amnon been with you?" And the answer, of course, is yes. And he says this. He says, "Listen, keep silent, my sister. He's your brother. Don't take this matter to heart." Sometimes people read this and they think he's saying, "Don't worry about it. It's no big deal." No, he's not saying that at all. He's telling her, "You don't deal with this. I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to wait for the exact right moment. And I'm going to kill him. Because if he thinks he can get away with this..." Let me ask you a question. Is Amnon going to get away with this? No. Does Absalom have to get the revenge? No. In fact, we're going to find that not only is this going to turn out bad for Amnon, it's going to turn out bad for Absalom. And I want you to understand something. Anytime you do not forgive and you seek the vengeance, it's not going to turn out good for you. Just want you to know that. It's very powerful. She went to stay with Absalom. You remember that we told you that the king's sons had, seems like they had their own houses, their own places. But the king's daughters live with him because the dad is always the protector of his daughters. And he's the protector of his daughters until they marry. And then the daughter would come under the authority of her dad as long as she was there. But when she was married, she came under the authority of her husband. But Tamar doesn't go back to live with David. She goes to live with her brother Absalom. She sees him as her protector. What did David do? Look at verse 21. Now when King David heard of all these matters, he was very angry. And you could say, okay, David, you're angry. What did you do? And you just read the verses. And guess what? He didn't do anything. See, if David would have gone, not saying he shouldn't have, but if he'd have gone to Amnon and said, what do you think you're doing having sexual relations with somebody you're not married to? He could have looked at him and said, you did with Bathsheba. Later on, when Absalom kills Amnon, David doesn't say anything to him. David doesn't go to him and say, you can't kill, because Absalom could look at him and say, you did the same thing. You killed Uriah. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever you sow, you reap. Notice verse 22. But Absalom did not speak to Amnon, either good or bad. For Absalom hated Amnon because he had violated his sister Tamar. No communication. 2 years are going to pass. Now, Amnon probably thinks, you know, I'm okay. I'm okay. He never said anything to me. Maybe it's no big deal. Anyway, nobody knows. She came into my room. She came into my thing. I didn't have anything to do with this. Wasn't my fault. And you can see Absalom saying, I'm not saying a word. I'm just looking for the right opportunity. See, he thinks he's going to get away with this. There's no way he's going to get away with this. He's not going to do that. I don't care if my father doesn't do anything about it. I'm going to do something about it. That's what he thought. Just remember this. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. When people do you wrong, you cannot say, I'm going to get them back. It will destroy you. Leave it to the Lord. Let's see what's going to happen. Let me give you the outline for the study. If you remember, we saw this last week. Amnon's desire, and then Amnon's actions where he raped her. And then the next part, Amnon's hatred, and he kicks her out. And then where we are now, we're going to see Absalom's revenge. And this is what's bad. He's going to have a feast, and we're going to see the death. And then the last part of the section, the reaction. What is David's reaction? What is Absalom's reaction? What happens in this whole thing? It's a powerful passage. Look at verse 23. It came about after 2 full years that Absalom had sheep shears in Baal Hazor, which is near Ephraim, and Absalom invited all the king's sons. Now 2 years have passed. 2 years that Absalom has just been looking for an opportunity. And think what he's been doing inside. He's been getting that anger and that bitterness and that lack of forgiveness. And he's going, I'm just looking for the time because I'm going to get him. If he thinks he's going to do what he did and get away with it, that's not going to happen. I'm going to get him back. And in your life, sometimes in your life, that's the way you feel. Somebody does something to you and they hurt you. And they do wrong to you, and you say, they're not going to get away with this. They are not going to be, they think they're going to get away with this. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. Watch what happened. It came about after 2 full years that Absalom had sheep shears in Baal Hazor, which is near Ephraim, and Absalom invited all the king's sons. Now, when it's time to shear the sheep, that's, you know, it's like a party time. It's that time, and they're going to get, they come all together with all the workers, and they shear the sheep, and then they eat, and they have a party. And so he's going to come and invite all of the sons. Why does he want this vengeance? Well, one, I think, is his pride. Second, I think it's his sister. But you know, there's something else. The oldest son, first in line to be king, was Amnon. Second in line was a man named Kileab, but the best we can find, he must have died because there's no record of him. Just listed him being born, but there's no record of his life. Third in line is Absalom. Absalom says, if I get rid of him, guess who's going to be king? See, he doesn't deserve to be king. He didn't deserve anything. And one of these days, when the time is right, he's got a plan. It's time for the party. He decides he's going to invite all the king's sons. Look what he's going to do. He comes to David. Absalom came to the king and said, behold, now your servants have sheep shears. Please let the king and his servants go with your servant. He comes to David and says, guess what? I got all kind of sheep and we're fixing to shear them and everything's going great. And, you know, I'm going to have a big party and I would like to invite everyone to come. You come, all my brothers come, all of their helpers come. We're just going to have a great big party. That sounds okay, doesn't it? Look what David says. But the king said to Absalom, no, my son, we should not all go, for we'll be burdensome to you. Although he urged him, he would not go, but blessed him. Now David said, no, thanks for the invitation and all that. But you know, if we come and I have to bring all my people, and if all your brothers come, they have to bring all their people. I mean, it'll be a burden for you. I mean, you got to have a party. So the best thing, son, just have a great time. I bless you. Bless you. Go have a great time. But we're not going to come. Then Absalom said, if not, then please let my brother Amnon go with us. And the king said to him, why should he go with you? Now, right in the middle of this, he said, okay, well, why don't you just let Amnon come? And David goes, Amnon? Why do you want Amnon? See, David goes, wait a minute. These guys aren't exactly good friends, you know. Why would he want to invite just Amnon to the party? Maybe David suspects something. Maybe David says, wait a minute, how long has that been? It's been 2 years since all that bad stuff happened. But Absalom keeps on urging. But Absalom urged him. He let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. David thought, okay, wait a minute. Okay, you're just going to keep asking. I'll tell you what we'll do. Safety in numbers. I'll just send all the boys. I'll send all my sons. They can all come to the party. I'm not coming to the party. They can all come to the party. David probably figures, listen, he won't do something to he won't do something to Amnon in front of all the rest of the family. Maybe by himself he would, but not this way. So, okay, I'll let all my sons go. I'll let all your brothers come. Now, Absalom has a plan. See, Absalom is he's a brilliant man. You'll see it. You get chapters 15, 16, 17, 18 up in there. You can see he's a brilliant man. He's so smart. He's handsome. He's taller than most people. He's a natural leader. People flock right to him. But he's torn up on the inside. See, sometimes people look real good on the outside, don't they? But he's torn up on the inside. He could never be a great leader because he wants vengeance, because he doesn't forgive, because he has hatred. See, if you really want to make an impact for Jesus Christ, you're going to have to deal with those kind of things in your life. We can't go around hating people. We can't go around not forgiving people. We can't go around wanting to get revenge on people. You can't do that. Because you'll be torn up on the inside. You may look good on the outside, but you'll be torn up on the inside. And so Absalom's got this plan. Look what he's going to do. Verse 28. Absalom commanded his servants, saying, see now, when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say to you, strike Amnon, then put him to death. Do not fear. Have I not myself commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant. Now he's got the plan. He says, when the party gets going, everybody's going to have a lot of fun because we're going to shear the sheep. And then I said, okay, everybody have a good time. So everybody's going to have a good time. And Amnon's going to be drinking. And then he's going to let his guard down when he's drinking. And when he's all merry and happy and not thinking about anything, I'm going to give you the signal. I'm going to say, get him. And I want you to kill him just like that. Now don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm telling you what to do. You notice that Absalom doesn't kill him himself. You know, David didn't kill Uriah himself either. What's going to happen? Well, verse 29, the servants of Absalom did to Amnon just as Absalom had commanded, and all the king's sons arose, and each one mounted his mule and fled. Right in the middle of the party, right when everybody is doing their thing, Absalom looks over at his men and goes, get him. And they go over there and they kill him. It doesn't tell us how they killed him, it just says they killed him. The rest of the brothers see it. What do they think? Is he going to kill us too? What's the plan? Everybody gets on their mule and they get out of there. Let's say it broke up the party, right? I mean, the party's over. They're getting out of there because they don't know what he's going to do. Most of them have known. Everybody knows. You don't hide those kind of things. You can't hide those kind of things. Most of them have known that Absalom deep down has hated Amnon for 2 years and he just let this go. And the rest of the family, they know it. So he kills him and the rest of them say, I'm getting out of here before he kills us too. By the way, this is the second of David's sons to die. Remember, he's lost the baby already. Now he's lost this one. He's going to lose two more. He's going to lose four sons before it's over with. Vengeance. Vengeance not only hurt Amnon, it's going to hurt Absalom as well. See, vengeance belongs to the Lord. Let me show you something. You just got to see this. And this is where we have to realize that the life that we live as those who belong to Christ is a supernatural life. Hold your place in 2 Samuel 13. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12. Just flip on over in your Bible all the way over to Romans chapter 12. Take just a second to get there. Romans chapter 12, we're going to start at verse 17. Now, this is where Paul actually tells us what we're to do. Gets very specific. In 2 Samuel, we're seeing what not to do. See, 2 Samuel is a story. It's a story of a guy who got revenge. It's a story of a person who disobeyed the scripture and went and got revenge. And we'll see what happens. In Romans chapter 12, it is Paul writing and he's given truth. And he's saying, this is how you deal with vengeance. This is how you deal when somebody does you wrong. Look what he says. Verse 17, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. He says, when somebody does evil to you, don't do evil back to them. Don't do that. Respect what is right in the sight of all men, if possible. So far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Now here comes the hard part. Never take your own revenge, but rather leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Does you know what God says? Listen, you don't have to worry about it. I take care of all these things. You don't have to go get somebody. You don't have to get them back. Vengeance belongs to me. God created them. He knows exactly how to deal with people. Look what it goes on to say. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. In doing so, you'll heap burning coals on his head. That really means it'll make him ashamed. He says, what you're supposed to do is do good to the person who did you bad. And you and I would say, how am I going to do good to the guy who did me bad? You're going to have to live supernaturally. You can't do it naturally. Look at the next verse. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, he's actually telling us that when somebody does you wrong, instead of trying to get them back, what you should do is do good to them. And we say, you got to be kidding me. I mean, I don't feel like doing good to anybody who does me wrong on purpose, especially. That's why the Christian life is not based on your feelings. It's not based on your flesh. It is based on the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And that's why you have to live a supernatural life in this area right here. So he says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In our lives, we must allow God to deal with those who hurt us. We don't get them back. It's a supernatural life. And let me tell you, let me talk about forgiveness for a second. Forgiveness is releasing the debt. You've got to forgive those people that do you wrong. If you don't, see, Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you. You must forgive them. If not, it's going to hurt you. You'll become the bitter person. You'll become the person who's angry and frustrated inside. Sometimes they hurt you. They could care less. They're going on with their life. You're sitting over there stewing and angry and bitter, and he says, forgive them. Let it go. You have to. It will destroy you. Forgiveness is for you. Vengeance is for the Lord. Let him handle it. Go back to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 13. Vengeance. Look what happens. You remember now, Amnon was killed, Absalom had his people kill him, and all the brothers got on the mules and took off. But look what happened. Verse 30. Now while they were on the way, that the report came to David saying, Absalom has struck down all the king's sons and not one of them is left. Now somebody's got it wrong. You know how that news always travels, and most of the time it's wrong news? Travels pretty fast. It's wrong news. It gets there and somebody comes running up and says, Absalom's killed all of your sons. All of them are dead. What do you think David thought? Why in the world did I even let them go to that party? I knew something was up. Then the king arose and tore his clothes and lay on the ground, and all the servants were standing by with clothes torn and showing their extreme sadness. Notice this parallel. David took Bathsheba. What did Amnon do? Amnon took Tamar. David killed Uriah. What did Absalom do? Absalom killed Amnon. Whatever you sow, you reap. Watch. Jonadab, the son, this is verse 32. Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother, responded, "Do not let my lord suppose that they have put to death all the young men, the king's sons, for Amnon alone is dead, because by the intent of Absalom, this has been determined since the day that he violated his sister Tamar." Now, remember, Jonadab is the guy that came up with the plan. He's supposed to be a friend, or he thought he was, everybody thought he was a friend of Amnon's, and he came up with that plan to get Tamar into the room. But remember, we said last time, he's not really a friend. A friend will not help you do things wrong. A friend will help you do things right. A true friend is going to be there to help you grow and to hold you accountable and to say, don't do that. Let's do this. This guy's not a friend, but he's a shrewd man. That was the Hebrew word. It could be used positively or negatively. He's a shrewd man. And here's what he says. Hey, wait a minute, David. You don't worry about it. Don't let the Lord suppose they have put to death all the young men, the king's sons. All the king's sons aren't dead. Only Amnon is dead. See, this was Absalom's plan from the time that when Amnon violated Tamar, from that day forward, Absalom has looked forward to killing Amnon. So just don't worry about it. Not all the sons are dead. Not all your sons are dead. Only one is dead. He goes on to say, "Now therefore do not let my lord the king take the report to heart, namely all the king's sons are dead, for only Amnon is dead." You think if he has been a real friend of Amnon, he might have warned Amnon about something like this? It's not a friend. Look what happens. Now, Absalom had fled. He's on the run. And the young man who was the watchman raised his eyes and looked, and behold, many people were coming from the road beside him by the side of the mountain. Now, Absalom has gone somewhere else, and as the young man who's kind of the watchman looks out, he sees a whole bunch of people coming. Now, these people coming are David's sons and all their helpers, all their servants, all their attendants. They're all running for their lives. They're riding on those mules, and they're getting there as fast as they can because they're in trouble. They think, no telling what's going to happen, they're thinking. And so look what happens. He looked out, and he saw many people. Jonadab said to the king, "Behold, the king's sons have come. According to your servant's word, so it happened." Jonadab comes to the king and said, I told you we're all going to be dead. Only one is dead. And as soon as he had finished speaking, behold, the king's sons came and lifted their voices and wept. And also the king and all his servants wept very bitterly. The death of the son. God said to David through Nathan that the sword will not depart from your household and there will be evil coming up out of your own household. God's word is always true. Now, I really like looking at God's word always being true when it's the good things. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That's true. In fact, every aspect of God's word is true. We want to base our lives on the truth of the word of God. John 17:17, thy word is true. So when God says something, it's going to happen. All of the promises, you know, he promised. We studied in my Sunday school class. We studied that one of these days Jesus is going to come in the clouds. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. We who are alive and remain to be caught up together with him. That's called the rapture. That's going to happen. God's word is true. We've also studied that one of these days Jesus Christ is going to come to the earth as the King of kings and Lord of lords, and we'll be coming with him and we'll rule in righteousness and justice. That's Revelation chapter 20. It's true. You can write it down. It's already written down, but you can write it down and say, as true. Count on it. God's word is always true. Well, what happened? Now Absalom fled and he went to Talmai, the son of Minhud, the king of Geshur. And David mourned for his son every day. Now, there's two things I want you to see in this verse. Number one, that Absalom went to a man named Talmai. David had married Talmai's daughter and had Absalom and Tamar. So Absalom is running to his grandfather's house, who was the king of Geshur. David married king of Geshur's wife, who was a princess. Her name was Micaiah. And so this is it. So when he gets in trouble, where is he going to go? He can't go home. He says, I'll go to granddaddy's house. And he runs to stay with grandfather. Look at the last of the verse. And David mourned for his son every day. Now here's my question to you. Which son is he mourning for? Is he mourning for Amnon, who has been killed? Is he mourning for Absalom, who is away? If you look carefully, not only at this and then go on through the rest of the chapters, you'll find that David favored Absalom above all of his sons. I believe that when this happened, and this time goes by, it's going to be 3 years, that David is mourning not for Amnon, he's mourning for Absalom. We'll see it later on, more detail. So Absalom had fled and gone to Geshur and was there 3 years. They're going to be apart for at least 3 years, and we're going to see what happens. Notice, the heart of King David longed to go out to Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon since he was dead. Now, what does that mean? It could mean this. He could say, oh, I'm comforted now. I'm sorry. Amnon is dead. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm feeling better now. You know, I've just got to go on with my life. That could be what it means. You know what it also could mean? It could mean that since David never dealt with the situation about Amnon having sexual relations with Tamar and raping her, it could be now that he's dead, he says, well, at least I don't have to deal with that anymore. Could be. Just can't tell. Notice the verse, though. The heart of King David longed to go out to Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon since he was dead. David shows great partiality to Absalom. Let me tell you, I mentioned a while ago that Absalom is tall and he's handsome and he draws people to him, but he's messed up on the inside because of vengeance. You don't want to be messed up on the inside. You want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's okay to look good on the outside, but you want to look good on the inside. You want God's word to transform you so that you can begin to be conformed to the image of Jesus, and you can grow and you can walk worthy of your calling. What have we seen? Absalom had this feast and all the sons came. The plan was to kill Amnon and get his revenge. He kills him. All the sons get on the mules and head out. David hears it. He thinks all of them are dead. But when they get there, only one is dead. That's Amnon. Absalom flees and goes to live with his grandfather. And David longs for his son every day. 3 years are going to pass. We get to chapter 14. 3 years have gone. We'll see what happens. Let me give you some applications. The first one is this. Remember, vengeance belongs to the Lord. In our lives, don't try to get the revenge. It's going to be a natural thing because it's going to happen to you. If it hadn't happened yet, it will happen. Somebody's going to do you wrong, and they're going to do you wrong on purpose. And you're going to be angry over it. You're going to say, that person, they did me wrong, and that's not right, and they shouldn't get away with this, and I'm not going to let them get away with this. Let me tell you, you're not in control. It's not up to you to get them. Leave the vengeance to the Lord. The natural life is vengeance. The supernatural life is living the vengeance to the Lord. A, allow God the vengeance. He will repay. Let me tell you what. He knows exactly how to deal with people. God would have dealt with Amnon, I guarantee you that. Absalom didn't have to get involved in that situation. But he did. B, seek to be at peace. That's the whole idea of reconciliation and forgiveness, Ephesians 4:32. Let me tell you, when people do you wrong, you better forgive them. That means releasing the debt. That means letting it go. You have to do that. If not, you will be the bitter one. You will be the one that's torn up on the inside. You will be the one that begins to look for the revenge and the vengeance and want to get them back. You must let it go. See, overcome evil with good. Now, that's the hard thing. This one can only be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. A person who actually does you wrong and you do good to them. You have to. In the power of the Holy Spirit, that's what we should do. You say, Jimmy, I just don't know if I could do that. No, you can't. You can't in your own power. It's not possible. You can in God's power through you. Number two. Realize how costly sin is in our lives. I mean, think how it affected David and Absalom and Amnon and all the sons. The entire nation was affected. You realize that when you sin, it affects others. You may say, hey, it's just me. It's not going to just be you. It's going to be you and God and your family and your friends and your church and people all around you. It's going to affect you all. It's never in a vacuum. Realize how dangerous and deadly sin is. So walk worthy of the calling which you've been called, and live in the power of the Holy Spirit, and seek to live in such a way that you'll bring glory to Jesus Christ. The third thing, realize that God will fulfill His word. He will. All the promises there, both the good and the bad, both the things where He says, you know, I love you, I'm giving you eternal life, you'll never be separated. And when He also says, whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son He receives. No one apply God's word. Live your life based on the Bible. It is truth. It is accurate. It always comes true. Every promise there, every promise that's for you, I guarantee you, you can say, if that's for me, I got it, because His word is true. May we leave the vengeance to the Lord. Living according to God's word, knowing how costly sin is in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a passage. Thank you for these truths, Lord. Thank you for teaching us and letting us see all this. And Lord, we realize that vengeance belongs to you. Lord, we know that in our lives there are going to be times that people hurt us, and they do it on purpose sometimes, Lord. And Lord, we recognize sometimes we do it on purpose to others. But Lord, as vengeance belongs to you, you know exactly what to do. You know what's best for that person. You know what's best in the whole situation. So Lord, may we be reconciled. May we forgive. And may we leave the vengeance to you, trusting you. And Lord, the most supernatural thing is to do good to those who do bad to us. May we do that. Lord, may we realize the damage that sin causes in our lives, in the local church, in our families. May we walk worthy of our calling. May we live according to the Scripture, because we know that your word is perfect and true. Thank you for these truths, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.